Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome along to the Wise Men Say podcast. Sunderland's league campaign has come to an end with a meek 1-1 draw against a side that's already been relegated from the division. If any match could just sum up Sunderland's time in Division 3 this time around, it would be a disappointing 1-1 draw. To talk about that and the upcoming playoff games, of course, joining myself, Stephen Goldsmith, is Gareth Barker.
Hello.
Hi. You okay?
Still about recovered from yesterday, just watching the match, which was took its toll, didn't it? Took its toll on the most, even the most hardened enthusiast would have struggled with that one.
Some people are still having a good go.
The 180 minutes against Northampton might be arguably the worst use of time I've spent during the coronavirus lockdown since last May, I would say. So that's how I'd analyse those two fixtures.
Stinking 0-0 at their place, wasn't it? Earlier on in the season.
Might have been the worst game ever.
Yeah.
It might have been the worst game I've ever seen, that one, down their place. But let's not talk about that again. I think the reaction pod might have been 7 minutes long for that one, which tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was particularly bad, that one. I don't know how much we can... Well, we'll get into a discussion about how much emphasis we can put on that result. To help us do that is Mickey Loft as well. Maggie?
Yeah, as I say, I'm still reeling from yesterday's action. I think, like Gareth said there, you all know kind of how involved I get when I watch the match, and I didn't even react when we equalised yesterday, despite the fact it was quite a late equaliser. Like, I just didn't even, shout or move, or complete apathy.
We'll have a discussion about attitudes, because I think if the fans are feeling that, there's an argument to say the players are as well, and we'll have a little discussion on that one and have a look at previous playoff campaigns and look at the form and momentum Sunderland have won it now with some of those. But I guess just back to the match itself and just the recent weeks itself, far too many, yeah. We were securing the playoffs. We need to acknowledge that. But flat doesn't even cover it, does it? And it just sums up far too many games that we've had at this level since we've been here, drawn more than anybody else in the league again. And that's why we've fallen short as much as anything, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not just the draws, it's who we've drawn against. I think I've seen the start yesterday with our results against the bottom half of the league, both home and away, and it's just been far from good enough, particularly at home. And across the course of the season, we've picked up 1.5 points per game at home, and that's just not automatic promotion form. It's give ourselves far too much to do, and that's been our undoing.
Certainly has. Were you surprised, Gareth, at his team selection? We were sort of predicting, go as far as saying predicting on the preview pod, myself, Rory, and Matthew, that we felt because of secure a playoff place was secure, he might just go ahead and rest everybody, and he didn't do that at all.
Yeah, I think that was maybe the most disappointing thing to come out of the game, wasn't it? That we played our kind of full strength, maybe with McGeady aside, obviously, who started on the bench. And he probably wishes he'd stayed on there given the way he played when he got on. But that was it. That was it, really, wasn't it? We kind of played this team of. I would say that as well. yeah, it was full strength, but people like Diamond and Jones and, you know, in particular way, thinking, well, McGeady's got that place locked down if he's fit. Gucci's been in really decent form, arguably our best player over the last sort of few games. You know, you'd think they'd be absolutely like chomping to like try and like displace, like when they've got the opportunity, displace those other players and think, well, you know, we give ourselves a chance of starting the game at Lincoln in 10 days' time, but it was just nothing. I mean, Jones in particular just offered absolutely nothing. You know, Diamond pretty much the same on the other side. You know, squandered his usual run around, but not really do anything. Yeah, I mean, Power was pretty much anonymous. See, the only one who really influenced the game probably was Gooch. And then, you know, White did, you know, it wasn't really that involved. I mean, it was just pretty, you know, and to concede the way we did, obviously, you know, deflected free kick. You know, it would be nice to get a clean sheet. Can't remember the last time we had a clean sheet, but, you know, it would be nice to get one, especially against Northampton.
Did any of the players on the pitch even want to be there from both teams? It looked like they're just, you know, and like we said at the start there, you know, if fans are going to be apathetic about it, you just think, well, no, not one of those players on that pitch looked like they even wanted to be there, Northampton included. Obviously, their position as well. They hadn't think a player for the very went down. So they're down after a depressing season. And would it be fair, McGee, to say 22 players didn't want to be there and none of the fans watching the game wanted to be watching it? Strange place to be in, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, people do say that like the ultimate form of goodness is a sense of duty. Well, if that's the case, and we're all saints for putting up with that yesterday, because it was just the most uninspired like game I've seen, with the possible exception of the game down there. I was just thinking, like, after the game down at Northampton, like, you lads did a podcast just after, and I don't think you even discussed the game. I think you just did an hour of talking about like similarly drab games you'd been there at Roker in the Stadium of Light and that. So I think when we discuss these two games combined, you wouldn't even get enough for like a standard podcast, which just says everything you need to know. But on the performance and the players, I just think my kind of biggest annoyance yesterday was when we equalised, because fair enough, it was a drab game, it was uninspiring, we went 1-0 down. But when you get an equaliser, like against a runner player with kind of like 5 minutes left, like you, I know we grabbed the ball back the net, but is there not like a sense of urgency where you think, right, 5 minutes, we're going to give it a real good go and just see if we can get the win and at least end on a high? But just as soon as we score, it's like, all right, we've got a draw now, that's fine. There was just none of the usual kind of like urgency you get in the last 5 minutes. We kind of, I'd have even preferred, I know I don't normally like this, but I would have even preferred for us to just be slinging the ball into the box, you know what I mean, and kind of like rushing around trying to make things happen. But it was just, I just don't know, it was just one of them. I get the feeling if you could have said that both, like teams before the game, like, oh, well, we'll just not play today. We'll just like shake hands. We'll have it. We'll get a point each. Yeah, fine. They bother.
You'd think so. But then Lee Johnson's team selection would suggest certainly he might be in a minority of one who wasn't feeling like that. He even said after the game, wasn't it always important to try and get that home leg second in the playoffs? And I can't decide if he's being serious or not. But then his team selection would suggest he is. I mean, this is what, you know, the lad said this on the reaction pod, and it's just something I want to reiterate. I mean, the decision to play Max Power, Luke O'Nine, to give Leadbitter any sort of game time at all, for me, was a really, really high risk that I didn't think you needed to take, because if one of those players was sent off or injured, then, you know, we're in trouble.
It's one of them. I don't, like I said again in the reaction pod, nobody minds if you go and win that game 4-0 and people come through the game unscathed. And I get what you mean about the team selection suggesting that you want to win the game and then with a bit of momentum. But I would also suggest that, I'm not saying it's all on the manager, but the way we played and our general approach to the game was really like lethargic and kind of like one-dimensional. It wasn't this kind of like quick attacking football that he purports to play. So I just think yesterday, just kind of like from the management all the way through the players, I just don't think it was like good enough yesterday. Like, I'm not going to fume about it or anything like that, because ultimately the game will be a little consequence. And I agree that we've got to treat the playoffs as a mini tournament, but I just think yesterday across the board, like, I just, as I say, I just felt like it's just an exhibition game.
It's a bit, it feels like things have slowed down a bit recently. You know, feels like we haven't had as many games recently and we don't look by it. And obviously, we've got 10 days now before the game, or 9 days. So, yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, it's a proper rest, isn't it? It's like a mental break, and as well as, you know, a physical break. And, you know, hopefully there'll be people, you know, it was a shame for Stuart that he was injured yesterday, because, you know, he made a really good impression against Plymouth. And then he didn't get an opportunity to sort of capitalise on that yesterday. So, you know, it's the second time he's had a hamstring problem since he's got here. Hopefully it's not a recurrence of the previous one, because that's never a good sign, is it? In terms of the way a player's being managed back to the situation, like back into the first team, if he's not fully fit, and they seem to be really cautious with him. I mean, we've had loads of injuries this season, and if it continues next year, we'll have the same discussions we're having under Steve Bruce, you know, like that these problems seem to follow him around, these injury problems for players. No matter what club he's at, there always seems to be like a series of muscle injuries for whatever reason that might be. And we've kind of had that here. So
remember when Niall Quinn said no stone was going to be left unturned in the investigation and where that was happening. And then when they come back with the report, I can't remember exactly what I said, but it was just, didn't really say anything. In other words, like, you're just thinking, you mean you don't know?
Yeah. I mean, you can't be sure, can you? I mean, I guess it's not like they're doing two sessions a day, and, you know, we don't know the intensity of the sessions that they do. But it's just, I don't know, it seems... It might just be we've been unlucky. And some of the injuries, to be fair, have been not so much muscle injuries in the major cases, obviously, with people like Jermaine Lee Willis. We've had those terrible knee injuries. You know, McGeady missed the start of the season. Would have missed the start of the season. I mean, I was thinking with McGeady, he's never been fit to start the season, has he, since we've been in League One?
I don't know if he was this year, he just wasn't getting
played. Well, no, I'm saying the season before, he wasn't fit to start the season. Obviously, he wasn't available at the start of this season. But the season before, I remember he had the foot problem, and then that kind of carried on into the start of the next season. I don't think he'd had a full pre-season. And then obviously, I don't think he played a game until September, did he, under Jack Ross? Because he came in and I think he scored, he came on in the might be Plymouth South game, Southend game, yeah, and he scored like right at the end. He hadn't had a pre-season, so
I mean, I don't know if it was an excuse, but I remember when Parkinson was asked about McGeady back in September, he basically said, "Oh well, he's injured anyway." So
yeah, he did say that, didn't he?
Yeah,
was it a calf problem or something?
Something like that, yeah. But I remember he didn't even feature for the, because even when Parkinson was here, I think he featured for the 23s a couple of times, like later on. So I think he even had a knock at the start of this season.
Yeah. I mean, that's a digression, really. I guess it doesn't matter.
Oh, no. I'm just being pedantic.
I was just thinking about it for some reason. But yeah, you got to hope. I mean, he was crap yesterday when he came on. Like, he was terrible. I mean, he couldn't do anything. It was like watching McFadden trying to pass the ball. I mean, pass the ball to somebody 3 yards away from him in the halfway line. It's like stuff he never normally does. If he's fit, he's like, starts against Lincoln, absolutely, like, you know, that was his first proper sort of reappearance, wasn't it, really, at Lincoln when we beat them 4-0 earlier in the season. Obviously, he'd played in the Wigan game, but, you know, he'd had a few minutes under his belt, and that was the first time he properly influenced a game, I think, wasn't it? I think Lincoln will suit us in the playoffs as well. Like, I think the way they play, like, our problem is breaking teams down.
Yeah, well,
but I think we're better off having a basketball game than having us being mid, because, you know, we've played Blackpool and failed. I mean, Oxford is the same, to be fair. They're a bit more open. I think I'd rather play out of the four teams. I know Oxford coming in good form, but their record against the top teams is terrible. So I wouldn't have minded playing Oxford or Lincoln, because say that I think their style of play gives us more of an opportunity to score goals in the game, which is something we've been struggling to do whilst conceding them.
Definitely. We'll talk about that now then in the playoffs and how that materialised and look at Sunderland's form in the previous campaigns. I think we deserve a medal for how long have we got out of that analysing a game. Mickey mentioned there as well that the first game, which was arguably the worst game of football we've ever seen, and I think we've done well to get any content out whatsoever in relation to Sunderland playing Northampton Town this season. So that's good, isn't it? Right. Nice and early one then, but we'll have a quick break and we'll come back and we'll talk about that.
The Wise Men Say podcast is brought to you in association with From the Terraces.
Cargo Shorts.
For a 10% discount, enter the code WMS10 at the checkout stage.
Or bucket heads.
While you do that, check out the From the Terraces podcast, presented by Rory Fallow and Matthew Keeling.
T-shirts.
For more information, search for From the Terraces on social media.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, welcome back to the Wise Men Say podcast. We'll just have a little chat now about, you know, you've said there yourself, Gareth, you're happy we've got Lincoln. That seems to be the general consensus among Sunderland fans. We'll talk about that. Maybe have a little bit of a laugh at Portsmouth, mucking it up on the last day. I did say in the preview pod I had a feeling they would mess it up and let Oxford sneak in.
Has Cowley got the job there, do you know? Has he been confirmed as the manager for next year?
I just assumed it was. Was it just till the end of the season?
It was just till the end of the season. Oh. So I don't know if he's got it full. I don't know if he's taking it.
Talk amongst yourselves. I'll have a look.
We've started talking about Portsmouth before we talk about us now. Because
I think it's fair to acknowledge. It's always good to see Portsmouth fans have a bit of a meltdown.
No, I've just looked and it says Portsmouth confirmed Danny Carr will remain in charge after agreeing a new long-term contract. Right. So he's taking the job.
Okay. Threat next season, though, if we're going to be down here. Did everybody watch the Derby match on Saturday?
I did.
No, it was Sheffield Wednesday, mad. No.
Well, there's one of them. I had like five live on during the first half, so that was like mad enough here with all the twos and fours. But then I watched the second half. It was just crazy, wasn't it?
So lucky. I mean, a Rotherham goalkeeper mistake in the last minute has kept them up. And the way they were celebrating Martin Waghorn saying, this is what we're in football for, this is what it's all about.
I thought that was odd, aye?
I love you, Martin. I don't know if Martin Waghorn is a black and white or a red and white, but he came from our academy, obviously, and, do have a lot of time for him, but that was quite funny. Like, you didn't even win the game, you drew the game. It reminds us of, like, do you know when and we've interviewed Terry Butcher about this, when Sunderland got relegated, when they lost to Notts County, and they just stayed up because of the results went their way, and there were riots in the Sunderland end. And you just see the contrast of Derby celebrating like they won, Derby fans celebrating like they won the Champions League, even though they've been relying on other results. It's just like, God, that's just not how we.
There's a bit too much like regulation of celebrations. It's relief. Like, I don't understand how anybody can go like, oh, well, this, they're not. You're not celebrating. It's, you know, you're just happy that you haven't got relegated. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you've been crap. But
I know
like,
what you mean.
Know.
There's different situations, though, isn't there? So, like, when Sunderland beat Everton and relegated Newcastle, you know, yes. Sensational scene. There's going to be, isn't it? And when even those great escapes, because you're so far behind, I guess, I don't know. I think if you lost seven games in a row or whatever it was Derby had and then drew one game and had to rely on other results, I'm not sure there would have been celebrations like that.
No, I think if the fans have been in all season, probably would be different. But obviously, because they haven't been, this is the first time people have been able to meet in an outdoor environment in such a long time. And it's culminated, like the season's culminated simultaneously. I think there's a desire there for people to just go and do something in that respect. Like,
I do agree, you know, it's sheer relief though, because Derby, I think, was like less than 10 minutes to go, getting relegated and they were getting beat in the game. And so, I do know what Steven means as well though, because like Derby are traditionally a much bigger club. Like, I think if under Chris Coleman, if we'd like pulled off a great escape in the Championship, you'd have seen nowhere near the same scenes of celebration, for example.
Well, we might have mine because it would have been a pretty great escape. If we'd won that Norwich game, we would have given ourselves a chance.
Too much by then, I think.
You think? If we'd won that Norwich game, we would have been in it because we
had a spell of
results that night when I were.
We had a spell of like five games where we kept taking the lead and drawing 1-1 or 2-2, But anyway, we're talking about Chris Coleman.
Taste of things to come.
Well, yeah, I just always interested. Yeah, League One next year is going to be relatively strong in terms of at least teams on paper, because you never know, Ipswich have come down and not done much, but in terms of the stature of the side, you know, had that Sheffield Wednesday and Derby both been relegated, would have been something to add to Portsmouth, to add to Ipswich, to add to us.
I've actually got a theory based on superstition. You two are like this because you like superstition, don't you?
Come on then.
So remember, I did the pod a few weeks ago and talked about going to places in the Championship, and it was really weird. The only place I could think of off the cuff was going to Derby. I couldn't think of any other team in the league. And then yesterday, on Saturday, I was like, they could get relegated. So I could be like completely wrong on that. And then they stayed up. So that means we're going to get promoted in the playoffs and play Derby in the Championship. Mm. So there you go.
You know, we could get promoted in the playoffs. It's just, this is strange. Like, so I'm just thinking back and like looking back to previous playoff campaigns where obviously, you know, the first one I've seen in my lifetime, the playoffs are relatively new, aren't they? When we got promoted in 1990, I think it was only the second or third or fourth season that they'd been in existence. So I think mid-80s we were brought in, weren't we? In fact, I think we were relegated to Division 3 in the first ever.
Yeah, it might have been the first round. They should bring back relegation playoffs, by the way.
I agree. There should be bigger. There should be more teams involved, like more teams in the division above. Anyway, but sort of I checked this one out actually on StatCap because my memory of that wasn't, I wasn't really fully committed until that summer, really, in terms of being a football fan. I was only 9 in 1990. But I was just looking at StatCat to see the position of Sunderland, and actually it was different in that they secured the playoffs a week before the last game, and there were three teams. So Newcastle were third and above everybody else, and then the teams in fourth, fifth and sixth, Swindon, Sunderland, Blackburn, finished on the same points. So it was a little bit like now, you know, where you think, well, they're probably going to be in the playoffs and finish in a different position. But Sunderland were like sixth a lot for the weeks leading up to that. So they still did have the playoff place to fight for, not like they did now. Although there's some similarities in terms of league positions being able to switch. And interestingly, Sunderland lost the last game of the season as well. Once they knew they'd already secured the playoffs, they lost at home. And then after that, it was when Mick McCarthy was here, wasn't it? Again, when we were third. And again, you know, my memory had it, and I could be wrong, that when we went to Burnley on that last game of the season, we still had an outside chance of going up, or have I got that wrong? Because we'd beaten Norwich at home, who I think had won the league.
I remember that.
Norwich.
And then we went to Burnley and won 2-1, and I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but we took a lot of fans down there, as we often do with last games of the season. But I remember the mood was quite positive. Do you know what I mean? I remember maybe we didn't have a chance of going up, but it was, we were playing well and we were in form, because we won. You know, we won our last two. Actually, I'm just looking at
them. Do you not think it's a case of it being?
No, we lost three in a row. Not long before that, I can't think the mood would have been good. Actually,
I think I remember getting beat the 1-0 at home to West Brom, which I think put Peter where we were automatic hopes.
Right. Yeah. No, I think you're right. Ipswich, West Brom, Crystal Palace. We lost three games in a row, and then drew at home to Wigan 0-0. Drew at home to Crewe 1-1. That's terrible. That's more like now then, isn't it? That is maybe a similar situation.
Stephen arguing with himself, he was great.
do you not think though that it's the mood is sort of less to do with the results? I don't know. I just feel as though when you're in the Championship playoffs and you've got the prize is the Premier League, it's a different thing. Whereas I think when we're in League One, it's the feeling is always like we should be automatically promoted.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, we've messed that up. So like, what's the point in the playoffs? It's like it was the same under Ross against Portsmouth. Everyone had kind of written it off, and even the atmosphere at Wembley when we got there was like, well, kind of everyone. It felt like everyone expected us to lose the game.
It just did. Get out, isn't it? It just did.
Everyone was almost resigned to the fact we're going to get beat.
It's not like you say. I think you made a good point, because it's not like, you know, you went to the playoffs or go to Wembley and stuff normally, and there's that level of excitement there, and there just isn't that here, because it's not exciting to be in the Championship. It's like bare minimum of where Sunderland should be. It might sound arrogant, but it's just a fact. It's like it is, and that's the way it is. And I'm looking at that now, and the similarities are there, like you say, but the context, Gareth, is different, and that we don't have a Premier League to play for. But when you look at form in terms of Sunderland being right up there and then the wheels coming off, it is actually really similar to that season under Mick McCarthy, 2004.
I think another similarity is as well, I think there's a bit of like apathy setting in now, because obviously this is our third kind of like full season in League One. I think around that time with Mick McCarthy, I think attendances were right down to about 25,000 for the majority of the season. Like, you had your odd game where you got like over 30,000, but on the whole, I think like kind of there was just a lot of apathy around the football club. So I think it's a good comparison, like looking back at the Mick Mac season.
Do you want a little playoff question?
Go ahead.
It's not specifically something related. It's just, which team has the most playoff promotions?
West Ham?
Incorrect.
Crystal Palace?
Incorrect. You have one more go, Mickey.
For some reason, Tranmere has jumped in my head, but that's
Tranmere. Just... No, that's not correct. Blackpool have 5.
Oh, great.
1992, 2001, 2007, 2010 and 2017. Which team has the most playoff final appearances?
Think of a team who always seems to be in the playoffs. I can't think of one. Derby?
Nope.
Bolton?
Nope. Blackpool with 7. 1991, 1992, 2001, 2007, 2010, 2012, and 2017.
Got that experience in it.
Yeah, they certainly have. Most consecutive games won in the playoffs.
I think we know where you're going with it.
Blackpool have won 10 consecutive games in the playoffs between 2001 and 2012.
Oh, God. I'm kind of with the other playoff kings than I. How's this not been brought to anyone's attention before now?
Maybe it has. I don't know.
I've not read that anywhere.
Well, when you said when were the playoffs founded, it was 1987.
We were the first season when we got relegated. Yeah,
it was quite funny looking at it as well. We've got a love. We are the one in Wikipedia. So it's like when it says past winners 1990 Swindon Town, and then there's the little one next to it to say that, yeah, there we are.
I wonder how many teams
in their accounts.
Well, I wonder how many times teams have actually been relegated, because I'm pretty sure they only did that for one season. Was it maybe two?
Yeah.
When we got relegated through the playoffs, yeah. And it was either the next season or the season after that where they scrapped that and just made it a promotion thing. And obviously, so it was three teams from the division below and one team from the division above. And it was just so, you know, the team in the division above had to win the playoffs to stay up. Mm. Anything else, and they were down. So that's the way they did it. And I'm not sure who else in that round of playoffs in the other divisions, if any more, got relegated. So that would be interesting.
They still do it in, like, the Bundesliga. And
they do it in Scotland, because I remember Hibs got relegated by Hamilton, I think, a few years ago, and Terry Butcher was like Hibernian manager.
Yeah, I think they'd taken like one or 3 points since Christmas, and Duncan Watmore was on loan at the time. We also got done in at the Palace one, because they changed the rules that year and got rid of away goals.
Yeah. And also they basically cheated for the goal.
I can't think about the foul on Marpoon.
They did, but you're right, Gareth, because I remember being really wound up by that. Because I remember in the we went for some food before that game and all got together, and it's not something we normally do for matches, and we just thought it was a playoffs and we were going to do something different. I remember us all sitting around having that very discussion, because didn't we lose 3-2 or 4-3 in the first
3-2.
We were saying then, you know, like, we're going to go out and away goals. We're going to go out on penalties here instead of, and where, like, other years we would have went through and away goals. So we did.
England also lost in the on penalties in 98 and 2004, which I remember. At the same time, thinking like, what's being great this as, like, get losing the playoffs and penalties and then losing in the Euros and the World Cup on penalties. If we get beat on penalties in the final of the playoffs this year, then, you know, it's going to end probably in penalties for England as well. I'm trying to think how many times we've actually been in the playoffs.
It was.
Yeah, is it four, five? Well, not excluding relegation and promotion playoffs.
It's the promotion
four playoffs. Times? Five times? This will be the fifth time we've been in the promotion playoffs.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, because under Peter Reid, we flew into the playoffs with momentum there. And, when you mentioned under Jack Ross, and, you know, the club obviously didn't try, and not that they need new lords, but we've mentioned it and been on the record before saying they just weren't interested in trying to get people to that game, that Portsmouth game.
No.
And you know, it transpires now, it's because they thought promotion was gone, and they knocked up a sale to somebody called Mark Campbell, who had persuaded them that he had money that he doesn't have. And, you know, they were just thought, we'll just concentrate and get promoted and sell the club on. Contrast to when Peter Reid was here, because we had a really good season. And I remember the players doing a lap of honour after the last home game, and we travelled down to Swindon, and we were still an outside chance of getting promoted, and everybody was really up for that, and we went into that campaign full of momentum, which is probably the only time we've ever done it. Looking at the previous there, as I say, in 1990, we just bobbled into it. We had poor momentum going into the one, as discussed under Mick McCarthy there. And then Jack Ross will be the fourth. Did you say five, Gareth? This is the fifth.
Fifth playoff. Six, so, if you include the relegation playoff.
And it has been weird. And I can't really remember what it felt like under Mick McCarthy, although the stats seem to suggest it was similar to this. But when it became clear weeks ago we weren't going to get promoted automatically, people have switched off, haven't they? The fans have switched off. And it must be the same for the players. It's been a really strange, because it's easy for us to say, right, come on, find some form, go into the playoffs with momentum. But are they realistically going to do that, or are they just going to try and make sure they don't get injured in those games? And that's something else Johnson alluded to, wasn't it?
I think it's like, you know, it's all very well as an outsider kind of going, well, you should be, where's the intensity? Shouldn't matter. But like, as a fan at the same time, you have the discussion, well, if White gets injured, because he overstretches, then you'd be like, well, why did we play him anyway and all this kind of thing? So it's easy to say, isn't it? But
then I thought it was interesting, Danny Collins yesterday saying that he didn't believe it was a dead rubber for like the reasons we've said about like finishing in certain playoff places. But he was kind of alluding to that, in his opinion, as a professional footballer, there's no such thing as a dead rubber because you're always like trying your best to get the results. And that's the attitude I would have wanted to see yesterday, but unfortunately we just didn't see it on the pitch.
But that attitude... It may be present in some, but not in others. I mean, it's human nature, isn't it?
Oh, of course,
I agree, but it's one of those, isn't it? Where
let's be honest, if we go up, it's not going to be because of yesterday's performance if we played well, and if we don't go up, it's not because of yesterday's performance. No. So, like, I agree with what you said before, Gareth. Like, we've just got to have the attitude that this is a mini tournament. We need to win a couple of games to get through. And I think it's one of those scenarios. Like, if we were in the league and someone said to you, if you win your last three games, you're getting promoted, you'd snap the hand off, like, even if you had been on a poorish run of form. So that's how we've got to treat this. Win three games and we're up.
Yeah, and I do kind of, and I don't know why, what I'm basing this on. I don't know why how I'm measuring this, but I kind of do back them to get through these Lincoln games in particular. I think, like, you know, when the wheels come off, they come off spectacularly, didn't they, at the end of the season? However, you know, throughout the season, really, under this manager, I don't know, again, stats might not back it up, but I just do sort of feel a little bit more confidence there. And it's what we talked about the preview pod as well, that it will be different under Parkinson. You would worry about just having to, like, sort of nil-nils and go out on penalties or whatever you do. The playoffs is often about who's the bravest. And like you said, Gareth, it could be a basketball game, this Lincoln one, because I think, you know, they're going into this in similar form to us as well. Because they'd fallen off a cliff originally, then they got the noses back in front and they turned around a little bit, and then they went on a bad run again, and they've ended up finishing below us.
I mean, psychologically, it's going to be a reset
for them, because us Blackpool and Lincoln have known now that this is the thing. We've known for a few weeks that we're in the playoffs, and it is going to be like, right, let's start again, and go again. Blackpool are the ones, aren't they? We want Blackpool to go out to Oxford, don't we?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
You think, you know, not only are they the playoff kings, as Gareth just pointed out there, but we didn't play badly against them. If we'd won both of those games 1-0 equally, I think people would have said, well, you know, it wasn't undeserved. They were really tight games. It's not the kind of side, and it's not the kind of game you want in a Wembley final, is it?
No, I do think it's a little bit of a fallacy vote to kind of base it too much on the league games you've played against the team, because look at Portsmouth in 2019. Like, we'd not beat them all season. We've not beaten the Checker Trade, got beaten from away from home, and we did the job on them in the playoffs. So let's hope that we can see it as like a one-off game with a completely different context this time.
We should have beaten Blackpool in at least one of those games.
Of course.
Like, I mean, they've won the second one with a screamer, and then the first one was like a laughable goal from us, and we'd hit the post like 30 seconds earlier. It's just one of those days, that one. I didn't think they were miles better than us. You know, they've definitely built, built their solid, you know, the keepers got a golden glove and all that, so it's clear how they set up, you know, to be solid first and then try and get something at the other end.
You don't want a team like that at Wembley,
no.
Do you? No. They keep the ball well as well, a large part of their game is possession and you're playing at Wembley, and it's
what you would hope,
going right back to 1990. That's what happened with Swindon, of course.
You'd fancy us to score against them, surely, or in a third attempt. Surely.
And again, there were teams like Blackpool. What do they do if we go 1-0 up early doors?
Exactly, yeah.
You know, I just don't know. Is this like attitude we've talked about in the pod previously? And I get it, because I don't think we are a great side. However, we shouldn't fear anyone in this league. Like, the top teams, like Hull, Peterborough's got promoted automatically. We've been unbeaten against them this season. And I know what you're saying about Blackpool. We haven't got a great record against them, but we took 6 points off Oxford. We've took 4 points off Lincoln. We beat them in the semi-final of the Peter Cup. So, like I say, I think that, there certainly are reasons to be kind of like optimistic, even though we've had a shocking run. And like I say, it's all about separating the context of the league. And we've had a poor end of the season and saying, right, this is a brand new start. We're playing the mini tournament and we've got to go and win it.
Can we do it, lads? Or will we do it? I know we can.
We can.
Yeah.
I don't know. In 10 days' time, I'll tell you how I feel. I mean, by the way, they're kicking the games off at 6 o'clock, by the way.
That's
when
there's
fans allowed back in.
I know it's like really crap if you want to go to the pub and watch it, because obviously like by the time people's finishing work, you're trying to get a group together. It's just...
I mean, you know, we had this whole hoo-ha about the Super League the other week and everyone was going on, like, you know, falling over themselves to be like the saviours of English football. And now they're talking about potentially getting rid of the playoffs from Wembley or rearranging them at the behest of the Champions League, Chelsea and Man City, who both what try to join the Super League.
Why don't
and then you've got the games are on Sky.
Or I mean, Spurs or some, yeah. or the
well,
Emirates
why don't they go
or...
and play the game at Spurs?
Yeah, like, Spurs, yeah. Emirates, Old Trafford. All of these grounds
well,
are big
go,
enough.
Etihad,
all these you're not allowed full capacity in anywhere. So
exactly.
all these grounds are big enough and prestigious enough.
Exactly. Go play at Villa Park. Villa Park would be the perfect location for those two teams. You know, so what? Like, what's the difference between playing it there and like playing it? I don't know, like you know, Baku or something like
just
that. You
ignore
know
that. Ignore that. I suggested playing at the Etihad. By the way, considering who's in the final, I just
I just
started throwing out like big. Big name that they wouldn't play at Old Trafford for that reason, I guess as well.
You know, it's a bit of a joke. Like you know, it just goes to show it's like, you know, these things only extend, you know, so far in people's memories, and then it's like, oh well, actually, I just think it's a joke. Really, there's no way they should be kicking games off at 5:30 when the 6 o'clock when the opportunity for fans to come back. Has presented itself. It's just wrong.
Yeah. Totally.
And you know, we'll see what happens. I was saw there that they were exploring an option to play the Champions League in Portugal now. So don't know. We'll see what happens. But it'd be really annoying if it was moved.
I think they should move to England, but not.
Just don't play it at Wembley. It's quite simple. It's like
doesn't need to be at Wembley, does it?
If you booked a hotel and you turn up and you get the account and they say actually you're not allowed in your room because a richer person has turned up and booked the room instead of you. So you've got to go and stay somewhere else. It's a booking, it needs to be honoured. The EFL have the arrangement.
Yeah.
And surely there won't be, you know, being somewhere the EFL are open to the idea. Why are you open to the idea? I think you could say no. Like, stuff, yeah. Like, this is what we do. And, like, I don't know how it'll work with fans being able to actually travel to the game or to Wembley. And there would be an argument to say, don't set the venue until, if they'd said, we're not going to set the venue the final, until we know who's in it. So if the opportunity is there for fans to attend the game from both groups of supporters, we'll pick a stadium that's equidistant or something like that. Because it doesn't really matter as long as it's like 30,000.
They never think about the fans with this. Like as your dream, like, you know, if they did, then Sunderland would never play in London at 12 o'clock on a Sunday.
Yeah.
They don't care. They really don't care about that at all. Like, yeah. as we've long
well, I guess the kickoff time is one thing, but the EFL could easily say, well, you know, say we played Blackpool in the final, you know, why couldn't we go and play the game at Ellen Road or something like that? Even though their pitch is crap, so that's probably a bad example, but do you know what I mean? You can go and play it somewhere like that, you know? As long as, you know, the fans would probably have a better opportunity to get to that game. You know, the fact, you know, we could be playing this game at Wembley with, I know there was like in the cup final. Was it the cup final? I'm trying to remember. Or was it? No, it was the FA Cup semi-final. and they had sort of people like basically people who didn't support either of those teams at the game, and the atmosphere was crap. Whereas when you had the cup final with the, even though there's only a few thousand there, the atmosphere was a lot better because it was supporters of those teams. So I guess it depends whether or not people are allowed to travel down and all that kind of thing. But I don't know, we're digressing a bit here, but mm-hmm. you know, hopefully the game is on the 30th at Wembley like it's supposed to be.
Yeah, and hopefully plenty of people manage to get into the semi-final. It would be nice, wouldn't it?
Looking forward to that.
A nice
looking
way to end
to the social media arguments about who deserves to go to that one.
Well, I think they're just trying to secure every season to get all the players on, and I don't think anybody can, rightly or wrongly, you know, whatever your reasons are for not wanting to be a scab really or whatever.
I just think they should have a ballot, and then, you know,
season ticket holders are going to get prioritised. Made a financial commitment, haven't they? It's just the way it is. It is the way it is. Right. You totally swerved that, by the way. I want a yes or no answer from you. Will Sunderland do it? Will Sunderland do it, Gareth?
No.
Great. Mickey, will Sunderland do it?
Yeah.
Yes, there he's there. There he's there. Right. As always, thanks for listening.
I don't really believe that.
Oh, well.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.